Well, welcome to the Word is the Way to Life, and also the thoughts of this old preacher. Anyhow, it's a wonderful thing to be able to come together with you every week, and we've been doing a journey through the Psalms. We've been looking at the Psalms from Psalm 51, and we'll get all the way up to Psalm 100, and this week we're at Psalm 65. Now, this is also the direction for the choir director, because it's a Psalm of David. It's a song. It means to be sung. Isn't that cool? Anyhow, hear God's word, Psalm 65. What mighty praise, O God, belongs to you in Zion? We will fulfill our vows to you, for you answer our prayers, and to you all people will come. Through our hearts are filled with sins, you forgive them all. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What joy awaits you inside your holy temple. Yet faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds. O God, our Savior, you are the hope of everyone on earth, and even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The rivers of God will not run dry. They provide a beautiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, the 4th century church. Now, I got in trouble one time because I had mentioned Augustine, and then I mentioned Augustine, and I got them mixed up. And I had a fellow in the church got up and said, "Hey, you know, that's not Augustine they're different people. Augustine and Constantine, they're different people." You know, sometimes I get my tongue around my eye tooth and I can't see what I'm saying. But I want to share with you, because in the 4th century church, Bishop Augustine once said that the Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. A hallelujah from head to foot. Now, I think he meant that we are and should be constantly thanking and praising God for all he has done for us. I think Psalm 65, as we read just a little bit ago, lets us turn from our laments into some songs of thanksgiving. Now, David describes this display of God's goodness and power. First, he said, "God deserves our praise because he forgives our sins." Hallelujah. Amen. Also, over in Psalm 51, it was a confession of his personal sin. You know, God called David a man after his own heart. Why? Because he repented and asked for forgiveness. But, I love the buts and the ifs, as you know. Psalm 65 is a confession of communal sin. Well, we are overwhelmed by our sins, aren't we? Well, it's appropriate, though, for individual Christians to confess their sins, but there's also a time for a whole church to acknowledge where they have failed as God's people. We know the churches in our day and time and denominations, we have fallen short of the glory of God, and we really and truly need to repent and ask God's forgiveness. The church in Laodicea was a church that Jesus invited to acknowledge their sins. "Cover your shameful nakedness and be in fellowship again." Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 and 20. a little Ralphism added there. But similarly, in Psalm 65, one of the wonderful results of confession and forgiveness is that God's people again live in your courts, verse 4. Second, God is worthy of praise. Why? Because you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, O Lord. Now, David may still be thinking of God's awesome power when he expressed it himself, that he is being restored, and that his sinful people to himself, as he reminds us of God's power, which rules and controls the land and the sea. Jesus' disciples experienced this personally on the Sea of Galilee when the Master calmed the roaring seas in Matthew 8:26. So the disciples responded, "That was amazing." Or in the words of the psalm, "The whole earth is filled with your awe and wonders, O Lord." And then finally, David is thanking God for the abundant harvest that he gives to the earth. As David writes, he sees streams filled with water, rains from heaven, and meadows filled with flocks, and sometimes famine and scarcity are signs of God's judgment. For instance, there was 3 years of famine when one of the options God gave David as punishment was for taking an unlawful census. He did a lot of things that just really didn't line up with God, didn't he? And you can find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 12. But I digress. Given this psalm begins with the thanksgiving for God's forgiveness. And I think it's quite possible that this earthly abundance is a tangible expression that Israel had been restored to God. And while we should not see all the natural disasters as God's judgment on a particular people or for a particular sin, I think we can always see the earth bounty and fertility as the expression of God's awesome and righteous deeds. You know, it's amazing how all of this took place. You know, Israel was in dispersion for, oh my goodness, 3,000 years. And then in May of 1948, Israel became a nation again, and God restored her glory. Well, they have challenges yet still, but now Israel is one of God's places, and he is proud of them, and we're proud of them because we have that Judeo-Christian heritage, and we have those promises, and we thank God that the restoration took place for the Israelis and the Jewish people. But we thank God for the restoration that took place in our lives personally. Amen. But I think one of my morning prayers will be this. I praise and thank you, O God, for your gift and creation, for this beautiful world, for food and drink, and for your daily provision of life and health. For earth, sky, and sea, plants and animals and birds, we give you the glory today for creating such a wonderful place for us to live. And we thank you for that as we do what we can do here. And thank you for the gift of eternal life when we leave here, in Jesus' name. Amen. But I think the question for all of us sometimes that we need to ponder is, had we really had an experience where a group of Christians had needed to come together for corporate repentance? The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is having a little revival in October, and we went to the pastor's conference the other day, and I see a lot of preachers come together. I didn't know there was that many pastors in Tallahassee coming together for corporate repentance and confession. So I think we need to certainly pray at all times, and we need to pray for a revival and repentance, and not only in our local churches, but corporately all over the world, and more importantly in our own country. So as we are in danger of taking God's natural gifts for granted, how can we avoid doing this? Well, the Lord is, how's that go? The strength of the Lord is something. The Lord, I don't know, I'm rambling. But I'm thinking about strength. That's what I'm thinking about. And when we appreciate the creativity and the artistry needed to produce a beautiful painting, we learn something about the skill of the artist. And if we work on the 39th floor of a skyscraper, I think occasionally we marvel at the engineering and powerful machinery needed to build such a structure. Likewise, when we observe the world that God had made in all its complexity and splendor, I don't think we can help but pause and reflect on the glory and the power of our Creator. The Lord is our strength, isn't He? Well, this is the same power that holds us up when we're weak. I love that song. When we are weak, He is strong. And He overpowers death. Can you imagine? We don't have to worry about that anymore if you accept Jesus in your life, because through the cross, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, He conquered death. And He was seen by many as the resurrection was so powerful. And then Jesus said, "Okay, guys, here I am. You know what to do now. I'm going home with Daddy for a while, but I'll be back." And we are looking for the return of Christ at any moment. So now that He has broken that bondage over sin and death that Satan held over us, we should be able to just get in and usher in the eternity and encourage one another in the faith.